Sometimes it's about keeping up appearances. We keep up appearances to make things look better than they actually are. As long as we work on the external things, we cut the grass, we clean the car, we keep the kids fed, we get up in the morning, we go to work, we get dressed, we do our work, we try our very best. And as long as we can take care of the external things, then we have the internal that just takes care of itself, we hope. Sometimes we keep up appearances when we have lost something near and dear to us, a relationship, a piece of work, a friendship, a love. And then we just go through the motions and we hope that somehow healing will come. But inside we feel that brittleness and that brokenness. And we keep up appearances with our colleagues and our friends and sometimes those who are closest to us, our family members or our spouses. And if we listen very carefully to Matthew today, and you hear that voice of Jesus, Jesus says, sometimes we keep up appearances with God too. I drew the short straw today using these gospel readings that were always the central gospel readings for Ash Wednesday, and wouldn't they be the readings for my last Sunday as dean? After a beautiful anthem, how can I keep from singing? I draw the short straw to listen to Matthew and Jesus warn us about what it means to keep up appearances. So what do we learn? Jesus says to his disciples and those on the mountain that day, be very careful about practicing your piety. That word actually should be practicing your righteousness. It's a better translation. Be careful when you're practicing your right relationships with yourself, with God, with your neighbor. Be careful what motivates you. And then he gets specific with us. When you're giving your money away, when you give alms, when you offer a dollar to a homeless person, when you're writing a check to the church, when you're offering to a neighbor help, don't lord it over and say, look at me, how generous I am. Accolades help the ego. But as Meister Eckhart, 14th century mystic, says, the soul actually grows by subtraction, not by addition. It takes a long time in life to learn to give away and to give in trusting in abundance that God will give back. It takes trust to be able to see in the appearance of the other your own inner landscape that needs concern and help too. Compassion grows. When you are praying, don't do it out in the public square so everybody can see you. Though sometimes I take issue with that. I wish sometimes we had more courage to express our faith in the public square rather than fearing offense. But when we pray, we lock ourselves in a room and we sit in silence and stillness before God to be deeply honest. And when you fast, don't look dismal. Don't make it look better or worse than it is. Allow the fasting to cleanse you from the inside out. You don't have to keep up appearances with God. God actually knows what's happening below the surface. The real question is, do you? Do you know what's really happening below the surface in your souls? It has been my experience that it takes a long time to learn how to be honest before God. To be truly naked and vulnerable before the one who created us. Moses thought he had it all figured out. He made a run for the border after he took a man's life. He fell in love. He married Jethro's daughter. He became part of Jethro's family business. He was having a good life until one day he saw that burning bush, and it burned a hole in his soul, and he knew full well that the only way he would find redemption was to go down into the land of Egypt and to bring a people up with him. It would take Jacob 15 years of hard labor to understand what it really truly meant to take his brother's blessing. It would take Joseph a long time to understand that the visions that would come to him in the night were not about him. It was truly about transforming malice into good for a people. Theo Fleury was a great hockey player. He had a long career in the NHL, but he also struggled with substance abuse, alcohol, and drugs. Much of that came out of a long, traumatic past of having been sexually abused by one of his coaches. And when his career ended, he went into a tailspin until 2005. In a moment of desperation, he said, "I locked myself into my bathroom in our home, and I contemplated ending my life, but I knew that I needed to do something else, and I fell to my knees, and I started yelling names at God, and some of them names I made up for myself. And in a moment of brutal honesty, I said, 'Please, Lord, take this obsession with alcohol and drugs away from me.'" And the next morning, September the 18th, 2005, he looked in the mirror in the bathroom, and he said, "For the first time in a very long time, I just stared at myself." An appearance that goes beyond the surface to the depths. It's the last time he did any drugs or alcohol. St. Paul writes an intimate note from prison, a place of shame and regret, and says clearly to a young church, "I have nothing to regret because I know that in this place of fear, I proclaim the gospel with an earnest boldness because it brings life. My life hangs on the one who gave up life and has risen from the dead." Or as the choir has sung, "No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?" For 979 days, it has been my profound joy and honor to serve as rector of St. James Cathedral and Dean of Toronto, to stand in this grand room that stands on the foundation of buildings before it, that take us back to the very beginnings of a new colony here in Toronto. When it's your last Sunday, it's helpful to confess. It's good for the soul. When I first arrived here, I was overwhelmed by the sheer size of this place, and I made assumptions. I assume that by sheer size and vastness, that a people that came here Sunday by Sunday might be a little distant, a little cold, a little reserved, a little rigid. I was wrong. What I have discovered over 979 days are people who have a reflection of the building itself. The paint is peeling. The organ doesn't work all the time. We need to pour a lot of money into this old church to bring it back to its standard. And someday soon, you will have plenty of opportunity to be very generous. But a building reflects a people. We are blemished too, imperfect, and yet beloved in God's eyes. It has been a joy to serve with you, to minister alongside you, a people who strive to live with righteousness, a right relationship with self, with neighbor, with God. If there was a parting word, I think, from Matthew to us, it's simply this. St. James Cathedral, keep it real. Keep it real. People gravitate towards a community that keeps it real, that reveals a faith that is living and true. This diocese needs to be anchored with a cathedral that lives with that kind of integrity. I'm counting on you, and I am praying for you. Pray for me.